Well, today, August 3rd, is the first anniversary of the dedication of this beautiful church of St. John's here in Leesburg. So congratulations to all of you faithful parishioners. The anniversary of the dedication of a church takes priority over any other liturgical feast that might be on the same day. That's how important the anniversary of the dedication of the church is. Today after Mass, we will light the dedication candles around the church, the 12 candles, which represent the 12 apostles, the pillars of the church. And then we'll begin Eucharistic adoration until right before the 5:30 Mass. So it'll be a great day of graces for all of you here at St. John's. When we think of a church, we know that it is really a channel of God's grace to souls. It's where people come to get their babies baptized or to get baptized as an adult, to have all their sins forgiven. It's a place where they go to confession, again, to have their sins forgiven, a place to come to be fed by Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, a place to come for confirmations, to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit, a place to come for the joyous occasions of weddings when men and women become husband and wife, or a place to come to pray for the happy repose of the souls of our loved ones who have died when we have the holy sacrifice of the Mass offered for their soul at their funeral Mass, a place to anoint the sick, a place of education and teaching, to learn the truths of our Catholic faith, to learn the scriptures, a place to worship God through the holy sacrifice of the Mass, to pray to our Lord, to ask for what we need, to petition the Lord, a place to come to show our devotion to our Blessed Mother and to the saints. So a church, a Catholic church, a particular parish, is a living catechism. Just have to look around and you see how this church, both on the outside and on the inside, is a living catechism. And it probably will be the only catechism that some people ever read. A lot of people driving up and down Route 15 will never open a Bible or the Catechism of the Catholic Church, but they will see this church, and this will be a teaching for them. And this church is certainly a magnificent house of God, so worthy of the Lord, and also worthy of the town of Leesburg, which has so much history and beautiful architecture and brick buildings. So this church fits in so well with the surrounding area, with the historical nature of Leesburg itself. But of course, foremost, it is the house worthy to hold the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. And when we look at the church and reflecting upon it, we see the beautiful brick architecture and the design of the cast stone throughout the exterior of the building. And a church that is elevated, because that's why they built the great cathedrals in Europe, with height. Because when you go into a church, it's supposed to raise your mind and heart to God. It's supposed to lift you up. You go into some churches built maybe in the 60s or 70s, and it's like going into a Pizza Hut, okay? The very low roofs, and almost built like a movie theater, sloped down to a particular, almost like you're watching a performance or a show. So different than how the great saints built the churches with height and with lots of light, because the cathedrals were to bring in God's light, and then of course the stained glass windows to teach you about the Bible stories and the saints. So church architecture, when it's good like this, can elevate the mind and heart to God, because it lifts up your soul. When you have that sense of light and height, it reminds you to lift up your heart and mind to Almighty God. So from the outside, you see the magnificent structure, the bell tower. When it rings, you know, when those bells ring, it reminds people of God, maybe to say the Angelus or to lift up their mind and heart to God. The steeple, again, so you can see it from whether it be the Dulles Toll Road or other places. It reminds you again of God. A steeple is almost like the finger of God pointing up to heaven to remind you of Almighty God. And in the old days when, you know, travelers were coming on pilgrimage, they wanted to find the church, and they would be walking through the fields and through the forest, and they would see the steeple. That's how they knew to get to the church, and then the bells would also help guide them and direct them. When you come into a beautiful church, you see the vestibule. The vestibule is your transition place from the outside world, the mundane, the secular world, into the sacred. And as you move from the outside world through the vestibule, you transition. See, the vestibule is a place for gathering, a place for socializing and talking, but it's to prepare you to enter into the church. So you go from the secular world through a vestibule to be transitioned into the sacredness of the church. And as you walk up, you get to the Holy of Holies, which is the tabernacle. So as you move forward in the church, you get to the holiest places, the altar, the tabernacle, the sanctuary, it is called. This church is built like so many of the great cathedrals in what's called a cruciform shape, the shape of the cross, because it represents that we are the body of Christ. Christ is the head, we are the members. If you were to lay the body of Christ down, you would have, these are the arms of the church called the transept, the main body of the church called the nave, and then you have where Christ is would be where the head of the body is, and the altar is where the heart of the body is. And it's so beautiful that Jesus is here in the center of the church, front and center. You don't have to be like Mary Magdalene saying, "They have taken my Lord away. Where have they placed him?" Because sometimes you go into Catholic churches, you cannot find Jesus. And you just look around. Where is the tabernacle? Here you have Jesus front and center, where he's supposed to be, where you see him visibly present. So everybody's attention is drawn to the real presence. Again, it's a teaching. A church is a catechism. It teaches us the centrality of Jesus Christ. You come through the vestibule, you bless yourself with holy water. Holy water is always found in the back to remind you of your baptism, as that's how you entered the church as an infant, was through baptism. And then you move forward and see the church, the body of Christ in the cruciform shape. You come up to the altar, which is at the heart of the church. Then you see the tabernacle and this beautiful 100-year-old reredos. And of course, it is magnificent, and thanks be to God, the church was able to find this treasure, because they don't build this anymore. I'm sure to build something like that would be between $2 and $3 million. That's how valuable that is, that magnificent marble, Italian marble, and the craftsmanship, you just don't see that anymore. So even though, of course, it's heartbreaking and sad when churches close down in other parts of the country because of inner city changing and changing of neighborhoods and ethnic groups moving out or passing on, and then churches going from, let's say, 5,000 families to 30 families, they just cannot maintain some of these inner city churches. So it's very sad when they have to close after maybe 100 years of worshiping the Lord and the presence of that church. But then, thanks be to God, you know, if we can use this for another couple hundred years, see how the Lord works, so we'll be blessed and be able to use the altar, the statues, the tabernacle. We can continue the tradition of worshiping God in this beautiful presence of the Lord. And then the last couple things you'll see in the church, of course, other teaching elements. We have the stained glass windows. In the old days, the people could not read, and so the church made stained glass windows to teach them the Bible stories, to teach them about the lives of the saints. Today, they're beautiful reminders of our friends in high places, the saints, and the intercession of this cloud of witnesses that is always around us. You see the stations of the cross that remind us of the passion and sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think one of the most beautiful aspects of the church is the Latin quotations that go around the church, and all from the Gospel of John. And the quotations Woman, behold your son over the Blessed Mother. Disciple, behold your mother. Then over the confessionals, the quotes that have to do with reconciliation. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Whose sins you shall forgive are forgiven them. And then the short quotes here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then the largest quote, all from John chapter 6, this one, I am the bread of life come down from heaven. He who eats this bread will live forever. The bread I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. So you have a teaching, and it encourages people to learn some of the Latin words that are so much part of our tradition and heritage. And it's the universality of Latin reminds us that we are one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We belong to one church throughout the world. So again, what a magnificent church that Father Moseman built and all of you built over those many years of preparation and the sacrifices that went into that. So congratulations on this anniversary. Let's continue to pray that this church will be a magnificent channel of God's grace for conversions and returns to the sacraments and the sanctification and evangelization of this entire area.